all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore.
For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth.
Which is called Prayer Requires a Righteous Stand Before God. Prayer requires a righteous stand before God. And I'm basing our teaching today from James chapter 5 and verse 16. James chapter 5 and verse 16. We're calling this Prayer Requires a Righteous Stand Before God. In fact, we'll read verse 15 leading up to verse 16. And it says here, "And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another, that you may be healed." The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And that is what we're basing the teaching today. It's interesting that in the context of what James is speaking about, he's talking about healing. This is connected also with divine healing, healing of the body, and he's dealing with the possibility of sin, unbelief, self-righteousness, and it's about confession, possibly confessing before brothers and sisters, certainly confessing before the Lord. In other words, when appropriating God in prayer, we need to see that we stand right before him. And sometimes it requires the Holy Spirit to reveal this. And I want to go much into this evening because I am convinced, without a shadow of a doubt, that this is one of the major problems to be found in the house of God with regard to why some of the gifts are not manifesting in the church as they should be, and certainly around the area of healing, divine healing. Prayer requires a righteous stand before God. That is what we're dealing with tonight. Now, this Greek word for righteous is dikaios. And this word in the Greek means to be approved. It means it's acceptable to God. It meets the standard that God requires. Now, we know that we have been made righteous in Christ. That is the gift given to us through Christ, through the victory at the cross. He has declared us right before God. He paid the penalty for that in order that we can stand right before God. Because otherwise, if we don't stand right before God, then we cannot know him, we cannot know his ways, The Word of God is hidden to us, and above all, we have no real personal relationship with the Lord Himself. So this is the work that He has done. But on our side, as we walk each day by faith, we have to maintain and know that we stand right before Him. And that is also our responsibility. There is this idea in Christendom, well, I've been made right in Christ, I have faith in Him, I stand right in His presence. And indeed, that is so. But there are two sides to any coin. And the other side of the coin is that we maintain that, that we have a responsibility that we stand right before God. And James is absolutely clear in his epistle in dealing with this one. There have been critics throughout the centuries that have said that the book of James is rather legalistic, that it tends to lead towards works that justify you. Well, you really do need to study it, because it's not about that at all. What it's about is, on your side of it, that you know that you stand right before God. In other words, you're meeting the conditions, one of which we know so well, that we are in faith, believing. In fact, the Lord said all it requires is a mustard seed of faith. So He's very gracious and merciful there, is He not? So this word righteous here that James is using, it means to be approved, it means to be acceptable to God. It also means that you're upright. In other words, you're keeping the commands of God. As the commands of God are being revealed to you, as He illumines our minds, our hearts, as we read and hear the Word of God, so there is that desire within us to be able to live it and keep it by the grace and mercy of God, and not to take it for granted. So that is where James is coming from. To give some illustrations with regard to this word, dikaios, we need to look at Luke 15 and verse 7. Luke 15 and verse 7. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. So there we start to get an understanding of those who truly are justified before God, and those who are trying to justify themselves. And there is a difference. And we, all of us, have made that mistake through our pride, where we try to justify ourselves. And note what he says there, that 99 just persons need no repentance. But there be more joy over one sinner who repents. So one against 99. That's why Jesus said, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. Because religious people try to justify themselves. They try to justify their actions or their arguments or arguing over theology, the word, or whatever it would be. Jesus encountered this many times with the Pharisees, and we know what he said about them. And all of us have to be on our guard, because we have all, We have all fallen short in this area until the Holy Spirit in his mercy and grace pulls us up and shows us, why are you justifying yourself? You have no need to. I have justified you. I have made you right before Almighty God. Why are you trying to take over the work that I accomplished at Calvary for you? And we do it. And pride will do it. Blindness will do it. And this is where James is coming from. And he's revealing that these are the hindrances so often found in the house of God. It may be the hindrance in your life tonight. And this is why we're addressing this, because God will not have self-righteousness in his presence. It's a problem, and God is dealing with it. We know it to be a problem because there is such a lack of discernment that is found in the house of God. And this is why so many Christians are ineffectual in spiritual warfare. Turn with me, if you will, to John 7 and verse 24. John chapter 7 and verse 24. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. And there again is so much of the problem. There is a judging, there is an attitude or a criticism that is doing it by outward appearance. But a righteous judgment is different, because it's God's judgment, it's God's righteousness. You're doing it from his side. And when you are doing it from God's side, you will also find that there is that love, that joy, that peace, that gentleness, kindness, and so forth. But when man judges by outward appearance, he's harsh and can be cruel and unkind. And sadly, this can go on, and that is why there is so little discernment, understanding of real prayer, intercession, or spiritual warfare, because we are carnal in our discernment. As the old saying goes, you cannot judge a book by its cover. And yet we still do it. And then we wonder why there is not healing and deliverance in the house of God. Because we're told very clearly that healing is the children's bread. We're told very clearly that by the stripes of Christ we were healed at Calvary. He went through all that pain to heal us, not only just to save us, but to heal us, to make us whole in mind, body, and spirit. That is what we hold to. That is what the deeper life teaching is about. But we have to go to the root of these things to find out what can be the hindrance. And so back in verse 16 of James chapter 5, he tells us that the effectual or effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. In other words, what he's saying here, that this kind of prayer doesn't stop until the job is done. And if you are righteous before God, upright, then you will keep with it until the job is done. And yet we find after 5 minutes, 10 minutes of prayer, we give up. Oh, it's not going to happen. God hasn't heard me, or whatever it is. And so we just give up on it. Why do we give up? Why is there not that persistence? Why don't we stay with it? Because there could be a hindrance that you are not righteous as you should be. And it is the mercy of God that is working in your life and my life until he brings us to that place. Now, we're not talking about sinless perfection, but we are talking about a right standing, a level that God sees that he will accept. And you will only know that by obeying him and walking in the light that you have. You see, much prayers are ineffectual. They're not effectual. And that is the problem. And so, if we don't stay with it until the job is done, it might require staying with it to come to that place of faith, to believe. Sometimes when we start to pray or intercede or pray for somebody's healing, we're not quite yet in that place of believing. But it requires prayer. It requires intercession, it requires staying with it, so we then come to that place of faith where you couldn't doubt if you tried, that you know that the answer is there. You know that that saint or that person is healed in the name of Jesus, but we don't stay until the job is done. We're too easily discouraged. And the enemy has to come along and just suggest things, see it hasn't worked, see there's no change or whatever it is, and then we become depressed, discouraged, and then we start to criticize because things aren't working. That pride comes in, that self-righteousness, and then we wonder why nothing happens. You have to stay with these things until you see it. Because it's a fervent prayer. It's a fervent prayer of a righteous man that avails much. And fervent prayer, this is prayer that's promoted by the Holy Spirit. So in other words, there are two things that are required there to be effective, which means to persist, to stay until the job is done. And the second is fervent prayer, where the Holy Spirit will then start to take over. Sometimes the Holy Spirit doesn't take over because he's watching to see if you will stay with it, if you will believe and you will trust him. Because we know at the end of the day that we can only stay with this if the power of the Holy Spirit is present in our lives. We can only be overcomers if the power of the Holy Spirit works in us to be overcomers. We can only believe and have faith if we stay with it, that he works that by the Holy Spirit. Everything is done by the Holy Spirit. That is God involved. When we are dealing with the Holy Spirit, we're dealing with Almighty God. The power of God. The same as it's the power of God to heal us, to deliver us. And so often when you start, yes, God is watching, he's looking. And then the Holy Spirit, he will begin to take over. I cannot tell you how many times I have experienced that in my life. And I find myself praising God. Thank you, Lord. I didn't give up. You helped me to stay with it. Now the power of God is taken over. And some of you, bless your hearts, you need the power of God to take over in your lives. And you'll be able to stay with it. You'll be able to start rising up and overcoming. But the key to it is to stay until the job is done. And James is absolutely clear with this. And certainly with regard to healing and deliverance. And we have saints in our assembly who are desperate for healing. if not all of us. But are you righteous? That is the question. Or are you deceiving yourself? You see, this prayer that we're talking about, when the Holy Spirit takes over, when the Spirit of God takes over, then the soul is crying out to God. It's dropped from your head to your heart. Your whole being, your soul, your bowels. It's where it speaks of bowels of compassion. The whole of you is in prayer, crying out, believing before God, because the power of the Holy Spirit has taken over. I have been staying before God for months now over this Brexit that's taking place in this country. And I have stayed with it and stayed with it until I got to that place where I could start to war in the spirit, where it comes out of the soul, crying in warfare. And you know what I hear comes out of my spirit and heart? Let this people go. I don't know anymore. I don't know the politics, but all I know is that is what the Holy Spirit is saying. There is something God is going to do with this nation in His mercy and grace before judgment finally comes. And if it means that we have to separate from Europe in order to do it, then He will do it. And we're all trying to get our minds in how it's going to be. But I can only go how the Holy Spirit shows me. And I knew that I had to stay with this and pray and intercede. For months and months I've been doing this. And the Holy Spirit, He's taken over. And when He took over, I knew that He was giving me the power to address powers and principalities over all of this and over Europe, dealing with witchcraft, control, lies, greed. And so it goes on. But you have to get to that place. It becomes a consecration for a season. There is so much the Holy Spirit wants to do through us, but He can't do it because we're not standing right as we should before Him. You see, we have to live a righteous life in God's eyes. And being righteous doesn't give us the right to live as we like. And that is the big problem. And that, of course, is where the cross comes in. Discipleship. We're not righteous to live as we like. My life doesn't belong to me anymore. Your life doesn't belong to you anymore. You have been bought with a great price. And God is concerned where we go, what we do, who we meet, and so on. This can affect a righteous stand before God. You know, our slates have to be pretty clean. This is what He showed me. Not absolutely spotless. No, and there was only one who was absolutely spotless, and His name was Jesus. But there is a degree of righteousness, a degree of perfection in God's sight, and He knows what it is that He's looking for. And a lot of it is just obedience. Just to obey Him. You see, God will show us when we're pushing the boundaries. When we take ourselves out of the prayer arena. And a lot of us have taken ourselves out of the prayer arena because of sin, unbelief, that independence of spirit. We're not found fervent in prayer as we should be. Jesus said, "My house is a house of prayer." That is the first requirement of us all. Everything else flows from that. And then we wonder why prayers are not getting answered. We wonder why we're not seeing the healings and deliverances and souls being added to the church. We've left it too much to the ministry and not taken up the responsibilities ourselves, because that's what body ministry is about. And when you stay with this, you'll then suddenly find the power of the Holy Spirit starts to take over. And when he takes over, he just reveals to you the things of the Spirit. He'll open your eyes sometimes to see even what you're warring against. I have seen over the years several times what I've been warring against. He's opened my eyes to see it. Because I stay with it until the job is done. But instead, we run away. We become despondent, discouraged. And then we hide away. And we are no longer walking in the light as he is in the light. That's what sin does. Sin makes you run away, makes you hide. That is the nature of it. We're of no use. Let us come back into the light as he is light. Let him deal with us. Let us confess those hindrances and get them under the blood of the Lamb so that we can be of use in these last days. Because judgment is coming. We are seeing the falling away now in the world, in everything. You don't have to look at a newspaper or listen to the news to know that one. Violence is getting worse. Everything is just beginning to fold up. And this is where we have to search ourselves, brothers and sisters. And the pastor or teacher or whoever they may be cannot do that one for you. You have to do it. Now let's look to some scriptures now. Proverbs 15:29. You know these very well. But we need to refresh ourselves with regard to the word of God. Proverbs 15 and verse 29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Here it is again. It is that righteous stand before him. That is what gives you confidence, a boldness in standing before him, that gives him all the praise and all the glory. Let's turn also to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Listen to that. It says his ears are open to their prayers. His eyes are on the righteous. He's quick and ready But when he sees a righteous saint to answer those prayers, that's what he says. How about 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22? 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. If you love someone, you want to please them, do you not? So that's what we want to do. And to please him, it means that we keep those commandments. We keep within the boundaries. We don't see how far that we can go to slip out of them. We don't tempt the Lord. And there are a lot of Christians that do that, to see if they can get away with it. So we're seeing very clearly, aren't we, that sin hinders prayer. And with regard to that, let's look at Proverbs 28 verse 9, with regard to how we hear. That is important. Proverbs 28 and verse 9. One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer, is an abomination. Now we're told, aren't we, in Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing, also reading. So to turn your ear away from hearing the word, the law, even his prayers become an abomination. God will not answer them. He's not hearing. They don't come before the mercy seat of God. And how easily we can turn our ears away from some of those things that we don't want to hear. Where we're in denial. We all of us have to be on our guard with this. There are going to be things at times that's not easy. Jesus made it absolutely clear it's not easy, because that sword comes down right in the family. And some of us don't really want to hear that one. But that is where the sword comes. And why does it come in the family? Because that is where so often those soul ties are, that have to be cut by the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we just cast a blind eye to their rebellion and their sin and what they do. And we make excuses for our loved ones. And I've heard it, it goes on. And when you start doing that, you are not righteous before God. It's a hindrance. It doesn't mean that you stop loving them. It just means that you cannot go along with what they do. You can't compromise with it. And yet we do it. This is a big hindrance. This is a big hindrance to stopping saints from going on with God, that can hold up healings and deliverances and so on. Of course we still love them. We live as peaceably as we can with them, but you cannot go along with some of their acts that they do. Why? Because the sword has come down. And Jesus knew exactly where that sword was to come down. Because that is where we compromise. And the only way that that will change is to confess it, is to bring it out into the open before the Lord. Maybe you need to tell the Lord, "Lord, I don't want to change in the natural in that area. If I take a stand, my son won't want to see me anymore, or whatever it will be. Well, maybe you need to tell the Lord that. There's a fear there. That's why we always need to be open and honest. Because God knows. He knows all of these things that go on in us. But be careful how you hear. What we hear is what lines up with the Word of God. The principles of His Word. That is only what we can believe and take into our hearts. Everything else we hear, or what people say, or what's going on, or going on in the family, or whatever it is, yes, we can pray about it, but we don't believe it. We don't take it on board. We're not to judge it. And yet we do. We take everything to the Lord in prayer. We don't take sides. There is only one side that we take, and that is the side of the Lord and His Word. And yet if we don't take their side, they feel rejected. They feel hurt, or whatever it will be. Well, so be it. There's only one side an overcomer takes, and that is the Lord's side. And His side is His Word. So Proverbs 28:9. One who turns away his ear from hearing the Lord, even his prayer, is an abomination. And that is why sometimes our prayers do not get answered, because we're told that faith comes by hearing the Word of God, and that hearing, when we hear right, is our deliverance. That hearing empowers, enables us to be able to stand right before God, because the Word of God is right. It's not wrong. There's no darkness at all in it, in any way or form. As God is light, we walk in that light. The Word of God is light to us. It lightens our way. It lightens our path, in order that we walk in that way. Now, I know we're all a work in progress. We're all on our way. But the point is, if we don't have a desire for this, then there are going to be problems. And even God puts those godly desires within us so that we can keep His commandments. We can do that which pleases Him, because He knows this cannot be achieved in the natural. He knows human flesh rebels totally against it. That's why we're made a new creation. But we do have a responsibility to seek God, that we are standing right before Him. If you are not standing right before Him, don't start praying. Don't start believing and claiming these promises and whatever it is, because you will be so, so disappointed. Your prayers will go no higher than the ceiling. You will know if you stand right before God, because the scepter is handed out to you, and you can come into the King's presence. And you will know when you are in the King's presence. You will know, because He is hearing your requests. Let's remember that God is most sovereign. And sometimes we treat Him with such disrespect. He will show you when that scepter is out, and you can come boldly into His presence. And you will know that when it is going back to what we have seen in James 16, where it is a fervent prayer, the effectual fervent prayer. In other words, it's effectual. You're staying there until the job is done. And you will know when the job is done because he has brought you into his presence. The scepter has been raised. You can come in and ask of me. This is where we get the idea of knocking and knocking. A knocking. But you see, for some, they're too proud for that. I'm not going to keep doing that. And so they then become discouraged. No, that fervent prayer is the power of the Holy Spirit who then starts to take over. And then the soul can pray, can cry out to Almighty God. In other words, it's dropped that 18 inches from your head to your heart. Brothers and sisters, it is worth it. God wants to answer these prayers. There is an awful lot that needs putting right. There are needs in the body. There are needs in your family. There are needs all around us, or things that we hear. We have the greatest ministry ever given to mankind, to pray, to intercede, and see things completely change. Prayer will turn the world upside down. It is that powerful. But brothers and sisters, it depends whether you're righteous in his presence. And that is something you have to find out before God. And in his love and mercy, he does show us. And that is why Jesus said, as I close now, by the fruit you will know them. Hallelujah. Prayer requires a righteous stand before God. Praise his name. Heavenly Father, Lord, you love us so much. You want us to get it right. You want your name glorified through our prayers and intercessions. But Lord, you have touched on something very important today. And Lord, you know each heart, you know where we stand. And Father, it is our desire that we stand righteous before you. And that, Father, we have that effectual prayer where we will stay with it until the job is done. And Lord, you then bless us, empower us by the Holy Spirit, where that faith is in the heart, where we pray from the heart, the soul, and not just lip service, which, Lord, many times we have done. Forgive us, Father. Forgive us, Lord, that we have prayed with our heads, our lips, but not with our hearts. And when we don't pray with our hearts, it's because it's telling us something. That our standing before you isn't what it should be. Lord, help us. Father, have mercy on us. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us here into this room, that we can hear your word. Father, make our prayers effectual. Guide, direct our prayers, Father, in what you want us to pray. Help us not to get our minds in the way, but just allow the Holy Spirit to pray and intercede. Teach us more and more what it is in spiritual warfare. Reveal to us, Father, the powers of darkness and what the enemy is up to, that we can wield that sword, the sword of the Spirit, dividing Satan's hold, his kingdom. You've empowered the church. You've empowered Christians to be able to do this. Forgive us, Lord, that we're so discouraged so easily. Father, empower us by the Holy Spirit that our prayers will be effectual before you. For this we ask, Father, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.
To do thy will, O Lord, I delight to do thy will, and to walk with thee is not grievous unto me, for to do thy will. I delight to do thy will.